Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to 2 John, 2 John chapter 1, the only chapter, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 11 here in 2 John, and we'll be talking about something very important concerning Bible doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. 2 John chapter 1, starting with verse 4. When you get there, if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, please. 2 John chapter 1, starting with verse 4, the Bible says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Father, thank you for the reading of the text this morning. I'm praying now that you help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So over the past month, I've been preaching messages concerning Bible doctrine. I'm not going to go into the great detail about what doctrine is again. I've done that already many times. But as I told you early on about 5 weeks ago, I wanted us to make sure that Highland Baptist Church is a church that understands Bible doctrine, understands the fundamentals of the faith, understands the fundamentals of the truth of God's Word. It is very easy today for someone that does not understand the Bible to be swayed to some false opinion or some false doctrine or false teaching. And so it's essential that we know for ourselves what the Bible says. I don't ever want you to just take my word for what I tell you. I want you to open up the Bible and read it for yourself and understand it for yourself. Don't just say, well, Brother Byron says this, that God said this. No, this is what God says. That's what we need to understand. And so go back and look for yourselves. Even though I may preach something, I'm not trying to fool anybody here today. But I may tell you something wrong. I may misquote something. I may accidentally say a wrong word or something, or you may not understand quite what I said, so I want you to understand the Bible. You see, when it comes to religion, there are a lot of people out there today, which is who John's talking about, that would love to deceive you. They would love to get you on some kind of false teaching that they have just to push their own agenda. This is happening all over the world today, especially in the Western world. Here in the United States, we have so many people today that have Bibles in their homes but never open them. They don't understand anything about the Bible. And so somebody comes along, knocks on the door, talks to them in the grocery store, maybe at work, a co-worker that carries some other doctrine than the true doctrine of the Bible, and they can influence you. If you're not careful, if you don't know the Bible, they'll influence you. Here in our opening text, the Apostle John is writing a letter to whom he calls up there in verse 1, the elect lady is who he calls her, and her children. Now this appears, some people believe that he's referring to a certain church body. I don't believe that. I believe he's referring to a specific lady and her children. For example, in the next chapter, he's talking to a specific man that he names. He doesn't name this lady, but he just calls her the elect lady. And it appears to be a family that John is familiar with. He knows something about them. He's maybe their pastor. And he knows that there is either no husband in the picture here. He has either died or he is a non-believer. And so they don't have any male spiritual leadership in the home. And John is trying to do the pastoral duties of establishing Bible doctrine and how she should treat people as a Christian. And it's obvious that she could be vulnerable to false teachers that would come in. You see, in the early days of Christianity, there was a great danger of people that was just trying their best to live like Christ would live, and they were very accepting. They didn't ever want to turn anybody away or be hateful or mean to anybody, and so they would accept everyone that would come in under the guise of being a Christian. That's how the Judaizers came into the churches. They claimed to be Christians, and I believe they were. They believed in the doctrine of Christ, but yet they couldn't get away from the law. And so they came in teaching the false doctrine, and because they called themselves Christians, they were accepted into the congregation. Well, it'd be the same way in a home, a personal home. This lady would have been vulnerable for anybody to come in, a Judaizer, somebody teaching a completely different doctrine. If they just come up, knocked on the door and said, "Hey, I'm a Christian, and you know, can I come in and speak to you, or can I come in and have a supper with you, or whatever?" Well, being a Christian, she certainly would want to have a fellowship and invite them into the home and perhaps let them speak. And so it was very easy for somebody to be swayed from the truth of the real doctrine of Christ. And that's what our message is concerning, is the doctrine of Christ. That's what the Bible is the doctrine of Christ. While there's many doctrines inside the Bible, it's all considered Bible doctrine. And so John is trying to help them. Look at verse 4 we started with. "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Well, see, John has received word about this family, and people's told him, "Listen, those kids that belong to that lady, they are walking in the truth. These guys are the real deal." And it brought John great joy to know that what he has told them about the doctrine of Christ, they are walking in the truth. So he says, "I rejoice greatly." I want to tell you something today. If I run across somebody that does not go to this church, doesn't belong here, and they report to me about somebody in my church that's done something wonderful and behaved in a Christian, godly way, you can't imagine what great joy that brings me to know that one of our members exemplifies that. And that happens to me. People tell me, you know, that guy that goes down to your church, or that woman that goes to your church, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what they did, what I saw them doing. And people do tell me those things. And it does bring me great joy. It's the same as your own children. Now, somebody comes and says, "You know what? I saw your son the other day, and he wouldn't believe how he was doing." And it just brings you joy to know that they're doing what they should do. Well, John has got great joy here. And so it's a great thing. And it lets him know that his preaching and teaching isn't falling on deaf ears, and that what he's taught them about the doctrine of Christ has made a difference in their life. That's what my desire is as your pastor, is to know that what I tell you from the God's Word and what I preach is it makes a difference in your life. I don't want to just preach and people tell me, "Brother Byron, that was a good job," or, you know, "I enjoyed the message." That's fine if you did. What I want to know is it making a difference in your life? Are you applying what you've heard to your life? The things that God said, are you actually following through with them? Instead of just hearing the word, are you doing the word? And so that's the greatest joy for a pastor. Verse 5 says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So, listen, the main thrust of all this passage is, of course, Bible doctrine. It's truth, but it also is fellowship, but the whole thought behind it is truth. Truth. All through the Bible, truth is magnified in God's Word. And so one of the main messages of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ is that as a Christian, we treat people right. We love people, especially those of the faith. And everything that we do should be done in love. The world today should look at the church and say, "Those people do things in love." And sadly, that's really opposite of what most of the world sees today. They now look at the church and they say, "Well, they're judgmental. They're, you know, they hate the world. They hate anybody that's different from them," and they look at us that way. And, you know, I understand that's always going to happen. I mean, they hated Jesus. They're going to hate us too. But we should reach out to people in a way of love. Even though they may not belong to this congregation or even be a Christian, we should reach out to them in brotherly love. In Jesus' own words, he says this in John 13, 34 through 35. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And so when the world looks at the church and sees the church fighting amongst itself, when it sees divisions and things going on in the church, this does not exemplify the life of Christ. This doesn't show the love of Christ. Well, look at verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist." Well, then he gets really to the meat of the message. He's concerned about these people being deceived. He says that there are many deceivers, somebody trying to trick you. They want to change your way of thinking. And these deceivers, John says, are an antichrist. Not the antichrist, the son of perdition, the man that's going to come at the end of time there before the great tribulation. That man will come on the scene. Not that antichrist. But those are of a behavior of antichrist. That's the opposite of Christ. So the opposite of Christ teaching is a false Christ, a pseudo-Christos is what that means. It's the opposite of what Christ would teach. And it implies those that oppose the things of Christ. Here he even mentions they've come to the world and they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So they're actually teaching the doctrine that, well, Jesus hadn't come yet. Messiah's not been here yet. Now these, of course, would have been the Jews probably in John's case. But there's many today that come and tell you that there's no such thing as a Jesus. There's not been a Jesus that come. Or they don't teach that he is who he really is. They don't teach his deity. They don't teach that Jesus is in fact God. They try to tell you he's somebody other than God. The Jehovah Witnesses will not admit that Jesus is God in any case whatsoever. The Mormons, he is not God, the Mormons say. And the Muslims, he is not God. He's a prophet. He's a teacher. He's a good man. He's somebody that you know, you should follow. He's a good guy. But he's not God. That's what these false religions want to tell you. I want to tell you today that Jesus is in fact God. He's God incarnate. He's God in the flesh. God sent Jesus here in the form of a man. God is robed himself in flesh there as a babe in Bethlehem. That's the first time he's robed in flesh. And he appears before men. That is the God-man. He is God in the flesh. And so that is the fundamental of our faith. If you don't accept that, you can't accept the faith of Christ. He is God. And so these false teachers, these antichrists, say, "Oh no, Jesus has not come in the flesh. No, God has not ever come here and appeared before men. No way. And so we see this all through the Bible. Example, the Apostle Paul, the churches that he established under his preaching and teaching, he was always concerned about them, because every time he went and taught a congregation, as soon as he went out the front door, somebody would come in the back door behind him. And they would start telling them things different than what Paul taught them. And it tore Paul apart. Listen to what he said over in Ephesus, Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. He said this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." You see, Paul, there in verse 14, is the depth of it. He says, "Then we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro." In other words, you, as a Christian, you should be growing in your faith in Christ, in your knowledge of the doctrine of Christ.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.